Hello, this is Victoria with Hope Service Docs, and on today's podcast, we discuss when are you ready for a service dog? This is a very personal question, and it's not going to be the same answer for everybody. You know, it's not that you receive information from your doctor that now you qualify to have a service dog. You know, trumpet sounds. That's not how it goes. And oftentimes, if you ask your doctor, what do you think of me getting a service dog? They don't know, right? Doctors, we like to think, know everything. Doctors don't know everything. I've talked to a lot of people over the close to 20 years I've been doing this, and there are some very big red flags that we look for, are you ready for a service dog? And the first question is, how long have you had the disability? Usually we recommend living with the disability for at least a year, you know, trying different treatments, different medications, see how things go down. But yes, you do have to be diagnosed as having a disability. You cannot diagnose yourself. And you're going to tell me, but wait, what? Yeah. I've had people call me up who tell me that I think I have this, but you know, the doctor doesn't agree with me. Then you find another doctor until you get one who will listen to you. Because we all know that medical gaslighting does exist. You know, myself, I've been passing out with dysautonomia since I was in the single digits, and I got diagnosed at 19. And the cardiologist who diagnosed me said, yeah, I've got it pretty good. And that was before COVID and all that. You know, that was when nobody knew neurocardiogenic syncope. What's that? And doctors, I'd have to spell it for them whenever I'd go to doctors. And I went to one doctor years later, whenever we were living in Maryland. And the doctor thought I was faking it for attention. And he sent me over to Johns Hopkins for them to tell me that I was faking it for attention. And the doc that I saw at Johns Hopkins kind of just laughed and said, you know why you were sent over here, right? And I said, no. And he told me. And I was a little stunned. You know, if you thought I was faking, have you not looked at my medical records that I brought with me? But the problem was back then, because this was still close to 20 years ago, there weren't a lot of meds for it. And the few meds that there were had been tried. So it was the dog. And that one, that was Boo, my first one. And she alerted for me beforehand whenever I started listening to her. But I had been dealing with it for a while. But we'll get people who contact us that they think that they have this, that, or the other, and they want a service dog for it, or they're not, you know, they're not currently seeing a doctor because of whatever reason. Look, the doctor doesn't have to agree that you need a service animal, even though I do always recommend that you discuss it with your full medical care team. See what their thoughts are. See if, you know, they feel that it would be a good match for you. What tasks the dog could do to help you. You know, there's a bunch that you can discuss. Don't, you know, if the doctor just dismisses it out of hand, why? You know, is it because you are bedbound? Because you have absolutely no strength in your arms or in your hands? You know, maybe a service dog is not what you need. You know, service dogs are not Mary Poppins in a fur coat. You know, I've talked to parents of young children, very young children, as in the youngest wasn't even a year old, who their child was recently diagnosed with whatever heart aching disability, you know, you can come up with, and they want a service dog now. Yeah, it doesn't go like that. This isn't Amazon where I can ship you a service dog and everything's good. As a parent of a child with a disability, you're going to have to navigate with that disability some and learn what that means for you. Get the child to and the family to be able to live without the service dog, because you're not always going to have a service dog. And a service dog is a lot of work. And what happens if the service dog gets sick or gets hurt and can't work? You still need to know how to cope with the disability without the service dog. Okay. So we do say at least a year, and then that gives you that time to understand what's going on and to try different methodologies. I know for dysautonomia, do physical therapy. Oh, you've got to do this exercise thing. Oh, you've got to do this lean against the wall thing. That doesn't work. You know what's supposed to work? Recumbent bike. So I got fake pedals, that are in like a triangle and you put on the ground and you pedal. Well, it feels really weird to ride a bike unless you are sitting on top of the pedals, like a normal bicycle. These people who lay down and ride their bikes, like I don't get it. It's really weird. Rowing machine, which I have major shoulder issues. Yay, 20 years as a professional dog trainer. And swimming. And I'm trying to talk my husband into putting in a pool. And so far, it's on the list, but it's next year at the earliest. And I'm like, dang it, because a pool would be good. Pool is good for dysautonomia. It's good for exercise. But getting back to the topic, when are you ready for a service dog? So, yeah, we want you to live with the disability for a year, not because we're sadists, and we want you to be in pain. But you have to think also, how can a dog help me in this? What can a dog do that would benefit me? And have a list. I've had people who come and drop off a list of so many tasks that they want their dog to train for, either one of our puppies or whenever we're working with dogs outside of our breeding program, what is it that tasks that are needed? Because that's what makes the dog a service dog. I've also talked to people who's tell me that they don't know what tasks, they don't really need tasks, but they want a service dog. And guys, that's not how it works. You have to have the disability first, and the dog has to be task trained to mitigate that disability. So a person who does not have a disability with a service dog who is task trained, that dog is no longer a service dog. And a person with a disability with a dog who is not task trained, that dog is also not a service dog. He may be a service dog in training, but just because you're, in a wheelchair or because you have a disability, because you are diabetic, it does not automatically make your dog a service dog. Okay. So those are things that you need to look for. And then if you come to me with 3 pages of tasks that you want to train up for your dog, okay, let's go through them together. What are things that only the dog can do? Is one thing that I look at. If a medical device exists that could do the job for your dog, then I'm probably going to recommend the medical device over the dog for it. What do you mean by that? For example, we would train diabetic alert dogs. I don't train a lot of diabetic alert dogs anymore because people have the insulin pumps and I don't remember the name of it. My mom has one, but the glucometer that's, attached to your arm to measure it. Does that mean that they can't have a service dog for it? No, of course you can have a service dog for it, but it's not a one or the other. You can do both. And if you have the service dog and the automatic monitoring, then you are going to be safer and you're going to be safer faster. Because it's going to take, I'd usually tell people 2 years to train up a service dog. And that's for them to work very well. They can start working for you earlier, especially if you go with one of our pups, oftentimes at 6 months old, whenever they go home, if they're doing the 6-month-old program, they're doing very well. But we like to have it's going to take about 2 years because you're still going to have to work with them. They're still going to be teething. They still might have a couple accidents. You're still going to have to expose them to everything they get exposed to, but they're with you. You can bond together. They can start helping you and you can work with them and find out what they love to do if you get them and pick up at 6 months. And if you go longer, you have to come and meet the dog and bond with the dog and get to know the dog. So oftentimes during these visits with the dog, you're not actively training per se a whole bunch when the dog's 3 months old or 4 months old or 5 months old, because the most important thing right now is that bond with you. Okay. So we have to have that. And then the tasks have to help your disability. If The task is, what would a task be? I've had this one a few times and I don't understand it. For migraine alert, and we've trained migraine alert service dogs before. So if it's for migraine alert and that's what you want the dog trained for, but you don't have migraines, the dog is not your service dog. And I've had people, and I ask them, do you get migraines? Well, I get really bad headaches. Really bad headaches are not migraines. They're different. They're way different, right? So really bad headaches aren't going to be the same thing. You know, again, if I give you my service dog for dysautonomia and you need something else, the dog's not going to be your service dog unless maybe you need those tasks also, and then you have a bond with the dog, because that bond with the dog is also huge, right? So we'll go through. What are some other tasks that we've worked with people? Because we could do one on strong tasks and weak tasks and other podcasts. Tasks, the good, the bad, the ugly. Haha, that's a good name. Good, bad, and ugly. But, you know, we'll get the tasks. So we'll do from number one is if this is it, like this is the biggest one. If nothing else, if my dog can do this, that would be rocking, right? So we'll have that all the way down to, you know, like even if the dog doesn't learn to do it, whatevs, but it'd be good. And then we'll pull, and like I said, that's after we pull out for, these are things that something else can do. For example, go get help. Now we'll work that here, right? Because it's an easy one. It's a fun one for the dogs. You know, go get Rich, go get Vicky, go get Tara or Emily or James or Rick or Rebel. You know, go get Sam, go get Ray. You know, we'll play with it in the house, but what happens if the door is shut and the dog can't get to where he's supposed to go and it's an emergency? Or Rich took off and I don't know that Rich went in town to go get hay for the goats or whatever. And I'm like, go get Rich. So because I can verbalize, I can say, Alexa, announce. And then whatever I say, she'll announce. I have to say it quietly because she's here listening to me. And if I say it too loud, I have to talk to her instead of you guys. You know how it goes. Right? But because I'm verbal, I can do that. And there have been many times that I have used that for good instead of evil. Right? Announce whatever needs announcing. You know, I need help. Come to the bedroom. You know, whatever. And, you know, if he hears it, it happens very quickly. Now, not everybody is going to be verbal whenever it happens, and they might need a hand signal, a cue to go get whatever needs done, or they might need the dog to fully take it upon themselves to do it. And this doesn't mean go find a rando at the store and bring them to me. You know, you don't want the dog to get kidnapped. You don't want yourself to get kidnapped. So there are things that I train, things that I don't train, but the question's always, you know, never say never. So you might need that go get help. And I might not because of how we set things up, right? So I'm going to say maybe use Alexa. Migraines, we've talked to some people and they want the dog to turn on and off the light switch. Well, for that, you need to work it with the light switches here. You know, like say I need it in the bedroom because I just need it to be dark whenever I have a migraine. So hopefully it'll go away after I take my meds, right? So I might want the dog to do it here. You know what's going to be a lot faster is put in the Alexa lights, either Alexa switches or the lights. So you can set it up and you can even get it going with the code. And it might be, hey, Alexa, migraine. And maybe that's the key to shut off the lights in this room, in your bedroom, and close the curtains because you can get automatic curtain closing thingies. You know, and get it set up. Well, okay, that's awesome. But what happens if you're at a hotel? What happens if it's something different, right? So it could still be something that you work on with your dog, but it's not something that you need because your house is set up for it. So that, okay, so what's the next thing that I need? I need a scent alert, right, for the migraine alert or a sight alert for that. So, you know, there are things that you have to think about when you're coming up with the tasks that you need. And can you wait 2 years for this to happen? Can you wait 2 years before? And then what happens if your dog gets sick? What happens if your dog hurts himself and he can't work for you? I get a lot of people who want pulling a wheelchair with the service dog. There's so many other things that the dog can do. If that's what you're coming up with is, I don't know, I'm disabled, I'm in a wheelchair because of the POTS is so bad, you know, like I can't stand upright when I go outside. I know I want the dog to pull my wheelchair. A smart drive can hook on, I think they're about $8,000. A service dog is more, and they can do a lot more for you. So you could do both. What if the service dog picked up stuff that you dropped whenever you were out and about? If you can walk a couple steps, he can help balance you. You know, when I go out, I do wheelchair most of the time. You know, say we're at Disney or at Universal or heck, even at the mall, I'm in the chair. But if I'm going to go to the bathroom, I can walk a few steps. You know, I might leave my chair outside. I might leave my chair with them, you know, with my gang, depending on how crowded the bathroom is and how easy it is to get in and out of. So I need the dog to be able to do the forward momentum pull, some counterbalance, some bracing, but it's just for a short amount of time. You know, if I'm not feeling good, I'm at the house. It's maybe, I don't know, I'm really bad at judging, say 30 feet from my bed to my bathroom. So there's been times I've had my dog in his mobility harness, her mobility harness for the day, because I'm not feeling good. And if I need you, I need you here to help me because I'm really dizzy. Could I brought my wheelchair in and use that? Yeah, sure, I could have. But I didn't. So how high up is that in the ranking of what tasks would benefit me? What tasks do I need now? What tasks can we work on later? And that'll help you decide, too, if you're ready to get a service dog. Can you come up with the tasks? We do have a list on hopeservicedogs.org of tasks that we like for some of the different disabilities. And there's some flow between them. You know, just because I have something listed under mobility doesn't mean that it's only ever for someone who needs mobility. It just means if I had to put it in a category, this is where I'm putting it. So that's something that you need to look at. How are you financially? You know, can you afford a service dog? They're not free and they're not cheap. The upkeep on a dog, you know, even if you're feeding kibble and you're going through just a bag of kibble a month, it's about $100. Then you have treats, you have gear, you have vet bills, you have flea stuff and tick stuff and heartworm stuff and vaccines and x-rays. And what happens if your dog does hurt himself and he has to go to the vet? Are you doing doggy health insurance? That's an option. Like I said, the gear, we just found out, I think, why. But we've been popping some of our fanny packs that we use for when we're training with the puppies. And I think it's because the puppies are probably in the 40-pound range right now. And if they pull, the fanny pack just can't take it. Because sometimes we would hook their leashes to the fanny pack. Yeah, we ain't going to be doing that anymore for a while. Because they popped. We popped like three of them before we realized why we were popping them. So can you pay to replace that? Or are you going to say, well, then I guess we're not eating because I need to go buy new gear? Training is going to cost. Now, you could say, and legally, you're absolutely correct. You don't need to go to a professional dog trainer to train up your service dog. You are legally allowed to train your service dog on your own. But here's what I'm going to tell you is, as a professional trainer for close to 20 years, do you know how many people can train their dog to sit reliably or walk on a leash, let alone anything more advanced like save my life, go get help that's needed right now, tell me if my blood sugar gets too low and I might die during the night? You know, if you can't train the easier things, you're not going to be able to train the harder things reliably. And then that gets scary. And then I've seen too where people are, oh, I trained up my service dog for myself and now I'm training up, you know, service dogs for friends. No, 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 no. Please don't do that. Like I said, there's no qualifications to call yourself a professional dog trainer or a professional service dog trainer. It can be very scary, Larry, because there's no qualifications for it. So it is very, very, very much a buyer beware. And that, my friend, is why we share so much online. We have the podcast. We're very active on TikTok. We're active on Facebook, on YouTube, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Yeah, those are the four that we do, plus the podcast. So we have quite a bit of information that we put out to share to help to spread awareness. What if I can't get up? Like, I'm done. I can't, you know, with the, especially with the dysautonomia, there are times that it's hard for me to get out of bed because the world is just so dizzy and spinny and there's no meds I can take for it. How am I still going to care for the dog when I'm at my worst? And that's a question you have to ask yourself. For some people, you have to rely on that kindness of strangers. For me personally, we have a doggy door. We have two doggy doors in the house, so I can open up the doggy door that we put in the bedroom if the dogs need to go in and out during the day. But that doesn't take into account the puppies. We have six, almost five-month-old puppies here. Six of them. That wasn't a misspeak. That was six of them times 5 months old. Somebody has to be able to get them out to potty if I can't. Well, luckily, I have Rich here. I have Luke here. And then we have our team who comes in and our volunteers who come in quite often. So we are set up. We have a game plan in case of emergency, break glass. In case of emergency, here's what we're going to do. Right? You need to have that. You need to have a backup plan. When we got Gypsy, there was about a month when she was 3 to 4 months old that I couldn't. And it happens. And what happened was Rich and Luke worked with play with her and with just the bare basic stuff. Because I had been doing all her training. We would do easy stuff. You know, we could, for example, we could do box work. We could do scatter feeding. It could be a jackpot reward for something. But it was some time off. And that's one thing that you have to remember whenever you're training up your service dog is they don't go by your schedule. You have to go and change yours to their schedule to a degree. So if you say, I'm terrible in the summertime, I need to start my dog's training in the wintertime, great. Well, what if the breeder who you want to go with doesn't have any dog available then? Or what if the dog's a little bit behind because of whatever reason? Is that a reason to wash them? Or what are you going to do? Or do you have a backup plan? Do you have somebody who can help you out? You know, and some people do, and some people don't. And it's hard whenever you don't have that. So how can we get that set up? You know, because I can tell you what the dog needs, but you're going to have to make those changes to do it. So if it's just you living at home and you work from home and sometimes you just can't, do you have a friend who can come over or a family member? How about a dog walker? How about somebody from church or somebody from, you know, your favorite restaurant that you met up? You know, make some friends, not just to help you out, but just make some friends because it's good to have friends. And that's one of the things I joke that we're going to change the name of Hope Service Dogs to Hope Service Dogs and BFFs, because that's one of the nice things about our Hope family is as we grow, the people who bought a puppy from this litter and from that litter and from this other litter, they kind of meet up. They get to know each other and they get to become friends. And so then they get to talk to each other and we make these amazing friendships all over the world, all over the country right now. Just because they happen to get a dog, you know, from us. So there's something magical here, and I'm kind of glad we get to be here and to be a part of it. I've talked to people. I remember one mom wanted to get a service dog for her child, but her child was afraid of dogs. A service dog's not the right choice. If your dog's afraid of dogs, if you're afraid of dogs, a service dog is not the right choice. I've talked to where they just can't come up with a task. And this, and I'm going to say it, right? We'll get all the haters on here saying, no, autism service dogs are the best. But autism service dogs must be task trained. Psychiatric service dogs must be task trained. And PTSD service dogs must be task trained. This whole, the companionship. No, companionship is not a task. The dog has to do something to mitigate your disability. Well, he allows me to get out of the house because I have a friend. That's not a task, right? So we need to have at least one strong task for the dog to do. And I'm fine with working with it if it's a good, strong task, for needs, because as we already discussed, needs can change, you know, based on the person. But it needs to be a good, strong task. It can't just be, oh, he'll just be the friend. Oh, it'll be good. He'll just be there for him. It'll make him not as sad. Well, can we do an interruption? Can we do deep pressure therapy? Can we teach what I call hugs, which deep pressure therapy comes over the lap. Hugs is usually straight on between the knees. Sometimes a dog will put his muzzle on your shoulder, or put his forehead against your forehead or against your chest. So we have different things that we can get the dog to do, right? And give kisses, which, yeah, those are tasks. And, you know, and I'll try, but, like, we need tasks. If you don't have tasks, and this whole, well, there needs to be three tasks. There's no law anywhere saying there need to be three tasks. Where that came from is ADI or Assistance Dogs International, or we want to be the police of the service dog world. Look, there's a bunch of fakers over there, too. You know? No. There's no three. If your dog has one amazing task, that can be all you need. If your diabetic alert dog alerts you to low blood sugars, that might be all you need. Now, we always recommend alerting to high as well, and a retrieve, you know, go get my meds and bring the bag here to me just in case. And that could be your glucometer bag with some sugar tabs in it, in case you are too shaky to go and get it. But does that mean that your dog is any less of a service dog? No, but he has to have a good task. And it has to be a smart task. You know what's not a smart task? Is for me, for dysautonomia, and this is what I'm pretty vocal about, is the will jump to alert. You can't jump on somebody who might fall down. You can't do it. Like, well, you can do it. But that is asking for troubles. Because what happens if you are dizzy? And maybe you're going down, and now it's boom, shakalaka, your dog's jumping on you to alert, and you go down even faster. So this is why we discuss tasks, is so we're on the same page with them on what the dog's going to be trained for, what the dog's going to be doing for you. Are you able to care for a dog? Do you want a dog? Do you have 12 dogs at your house? Are they all washed service dogs? Then let's discuss more, because that's not going to be set up for success. What happens if you have one other dog in the house, but he's super aggressive and mean and nasty? No, then he has to go if you want one of my puppies. Oh, but that's so mean. No, it's not, because I've got to think of the dog. You've got to think of yourself. I've got to think of the dog. If there's a bunch of, you know, a 2, a 3, a 4, a 5, a 6-year-old dog, because you keep trying for a service dog, but there are all these weird breeds. No, that's too much. Your hands are full. I know how it is. And this is my profession, guys. This is what I do, is I breed, raise, and train golden retriever service dogs to be the absolute best, right? Having 5 adult dogs, like wink, wink, personal dogs, wink, wink, because they're not mine. They're Hope service dogs. We just care for them here. You know, so are they mine? Are they Hope's? They're Hope's. Legally, they're Hope's. But it's harder, right? And if you're doing all that plus everything else, what are your plans for the dog? Do you want the dog to go with you everywhere? Do you want to do that at 8 weeks old? Because that's a recipe for failure. Do you want the dog to go to school with you if you're still in school? Are you in elementary school and you want the dog to come to school with you, or go with your child in elementary school? What about middle school? What about high school? Are you in a public school or a private school? Do you plan on your middle school child training the dog while going to public high school or public middle school instead versus private, right? And trying to learn at the same time. Do you think that's fair to anybody? Do you think that's fair to your child? Do you think that's fair to the dog? No. So these are things that oftentimes we will discuss, and you have to think about it when you're thinking, are you ready for a service dog? And just because you're not ready now, it doesn't mean never. Right? It just means not now. It means maybe in the future we can re-examine this and see. Do you want dog fur in your house? You know, what breed is going to be another one that we do is, what are the best breeds for service work? Do you know how many people I talk to who tell me that they want a doodle because they don't want the shedding that is involved with a golden retriever? And I laugh at them, because doodles shed, right? Here's a little foreshadowing for that episode. Or they'll tell me, well, I want a poodle because I don't want to have to brush them out every day or deal with the fur. And I say to them, you do realize that a poodle has to go to the groomers monthly. Around here, that's about $150 a month for the poodle to go to the groomers for the day, which means you also now don't have your service dog for that day. And you still have to do weekly upkeep on that poodle. You still have to get that poodle up on the grooming table daily and brush him out, depending on how long you want to keep him. Weekly, you have to, you don't have to, but it looks the best if you trim up their face, maybe their feet. You have to do their nails, Dremel up their nails weekly, if not twice a week. Check their ears, because fur doesn't come out of a poodle unless it gets shaved or you pull it. So they can get matted inside their ears. They can get ear infections because of that. Do you need a mobility dog? Then a poodle is not going to be the right dog for you, because they're too light framed for it and they're too small for it. Well, then I'm going to get a Great Dane. No, you're not. You're going to wait and you're going to listen to my next episode, or you're going to contact me, because there's a reason we breed Golden Retrievers, is because they're the best for service work. They are. What are the top three breeds? Golden, Lab, Standard Poodle. But that's not for everything, right? Well, no, what about the Fab Four? There's the Fab Four. What's the Fab Four? Golden, Lab, Standard Poodle, Golden. Right? Like, how many collies do you see out there? How many German Shepherds do you see out there? A successful, good around everyone service dogs. So if we have to, but like I said, that'll be under what breed? I'll get off of that tangent. So when are you ready? It's something that you have to think about. Long, hard, and everywhere in between. Are you ready for a service dog? Health-wise, are you ready? Financially, are you ready? Time commitment, are you ready? It's going to take you 2 years to train up this dog. Do you have that time now? Or do you think you might have that time in a year from now? If you're ready now, it might not get you a service puppy tomorrow or today. It might still be 6 months to a year. So you do have to reach out before you're ready, which is fine. And I get it. And we get people who do that all the time. Timelines can change. Can you do it? Is this the best thing for you right now? Or is this something that we might kick around a bit in the future? It took me a while before I got my first dog. And it's just because we found her. And I trained her up and she was found out she was alerting for me. And that was Boo, the Siberian Husky. I don't recommend Siberian Huskies as service dogs. But when are you ready is something only you can answer. I'm always available to help answer some questions if needed. But you have to be so long on the path for those questions to come up, right? We'll get, and what do you mean by that? We'll get, sometimes people will call up and they'll say, you know, hey, I was just diagnosed with this and I think I want a service dog. Tell me about getting a service dog. Oh my gosh, you're at the start of your journey and I can help you at the start of your journey, but I need you to kick around the idea of a service dog. That, you know, can you do this? Is this something that's feasible? Listen to some of the podcasts because they're pretty awesome. And then let's discuss it once you've thought about it some, because those are two total different conversations that we can have. And if I have a conversation every day with people, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of spoons that it takes up. Whereas if I have a conversation via the podcast here, I'm having it with hundreds of people, thousands of people, and it enables me to reach a lot more, a lot easier, right? Anyway, I'm going to wrap it up. Rich just came home and he brought me a gyro from Arby's, home of the gyros. And I'm sure it's not going to be as good as the Greek place we had up in Wisconsin. But beggars cannot be choosers when it comes to eating food sometimes. Anyway, this is Victoria with Hope Service Dogs. Our website is hopeservicedogs.org. Again, we're active TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, our podcast here. Listen. We're going to be doing them weekly. I know I've said it before, but we need to do this because we get so many people that it helps. So this is part of our public outreach. You can find us on hopeservicedogs.org. You can find the links to everything on our link tree, which is linktr.ee/hopesd. That's our link tree. And it's pretty awesome. And I will catch you next time.